Introducing Coco Gauff's signature shoe, more than just a tennis shoe. It's a fusion of 90s-inspired style and cutting-edge performance technology. With its sleek mid-cut silhouette, it's designed to enhance speed and power on the court. The multi-piece upper construction delivers high-energy return for players of all levels. Whether you're a seasoned pro or just starting out, the Coco CG1 empowers you to dominate the game. Learn more and purchase the Coco CG1 at NewBalance.com.
The city where the heat is on. Welcome to TC Live from the Miami Open, where we wrap up all the action from Hard Rock Stadium and get you ready for tomorrow's biggest matches. A lot to discuss over the next half hour. We will hear from former Miami champ Sloane Stephens, who celebrated her birthday with a very efficient straight sets victory. Plus, the match of the day featured Andy Murray needing to go the distance to show Matteo Berrettini who's the real boss man. And a war of words between a couple Grand Slam champs. Who's slamming who? And what do our analysts think about the brouhaha? With that, we say hello, welcome, come on into our studio. Steve Weissman back alongside the golden girl, Monica Puig. Great to see you, Mon. And we've got the Hall of Famer, Andy Roddick, over on the big screen, rocking the hat as always. Andy, Monica, and I were just talking about favorite restaurants in Miami. What do you got for us?
Ooh, that's a good one, Steve. Used to go to a little Argentinian steakhouse in South Beach. There are a couple good pizza joints on Key Biscayne, actually. They actually got rid of my favorite little bagel shop there on Key Biscayne, so RIP. But I haven't been to the new one. I don't know what's available in Miami Gardens, Steve. I haven't been to that one yet.
What'd you say?
Not a whole lot in Miami Gardens, but, yeah. I mean, we do have a lot that are in Brickell, Wynwood, some of our favorites. I mean, Komodo is great.
Komodo's great, yeah.
Oh, Uchi, shout out Dave Grubman. Uchi, sorry. I want to redo Uchi in Wynwood. Uchi, best sushi you'll ever have. Uchi all day long.
Uchi's good. Uchi in Austin, I've been to that one.
Uchiko, yep.
Yeah, you got I'm it. Adding it to my list. I've never been.
Do it. Do all it. Right.
Now everybody knows where to eat in Miami. Let's flash back, though, to 2018. It wasn't Miami Gardens. In fact, it was Crandon Park Tennis Center. Sloane Stephens took the women's title with a win over Yelena Ostapenko. Look at that reaction. The win put Stephens in the top 10 for the very first time in her career. Now, on her way to that trophy 6 years ago, she beat Angie Kerber in the quarterfinals 1 and 2. They would play again in the only meeting between major champs in the first round this year, Monica.
I mean, Sloane doing something that I think a lot of players find really hard to do, and it's win on their birthday, but this was vintage Sloane. She played extremely well today, especially off of that backhand wing, just hitting some really great, solid backhands. And this is a game style that benefits Sloane playing against Angie Kerber. Kerber won't rush her. Sloane feels like she has all the time in the world to really step up and hit the ball, which she really did very well. Being aggressive out there on the court, it was the Sloane of old. It was what we were used to seeing. And Kerber, while she has been playing well, I feel like this is a great matchup for Sloane. She looked very confident and very happy out there on the court, Steve. Andy, she just looked phenomenal.
31st birthday, Stephens with what we would call a cakewalk. Now 6-2 against Angie Kerber, caught up with Prakash after.
Such a clean first set today. Got down a break early in the second, bounced right back. You must be very happy with your performance on all aspects of the game, yeah?
Yeah, definitely. Obviously, Angie's always really tough to play. She's just coming back. I do like playing her, so that's obviously not great for her. But I felt like I was playing decent, and I just kind of stuck with my game plan, just tried to do all the things that I knew I could control in the match. And I did all those things well today, so that was really helpful.
Andy, never easy to play on your birthday or start against another major champ in the first round. I know you had some experience playing on your birthday yourself.
Yeah, Sloane looked great today. I didn't know who to pick in this match before you brought up the 5-2 record for Sloane, which may have corresponded with when Angie Kerber was playing Grand Slam winning tennis. But I got to be honest, Steve, I hated playing on my birthday during the U.S. Open. It's like all you wanted to do was like practice and someone brought you a cake. And, like, you were happy because they were doing a nice gesture, but you really didn't want to spend time talking about your birthday because you were nervous about a match. I believe I lost a Jill Muller first round of the U.S. Open one time on my birthday, Steve. Had a couple of pops after that one.
All right, so that's not great. I know I'm not supposed to ask you about this, so what stood out about Sloane?
I mean, I just really liked how calm, cool, and collected she looked out on the court today. She looked like she had all the time in the world to pretty much prepare, hit her shots, hit her spots on the court. And like she said, she likes playing against Kerber, which is really bad for Kerber in the sense that she just had time to work with, and she knows that she can just unleash off of Kerber's ball.
26 winners, just 8 unforced errors. The former champ, real clean performance today. Sloane gets Sorana Kirsteia in the next round. Meantime, check this out. Nice gift here. With the F1 race coming to Miami in early May, Naomi Osaka was gifted this special Jeff Hamilton-designed jacket a couple days ago. Now, Hamilton is known as the jacket designer for the stars. I didn't know that, but I looked it up. Osaka loved it, wore it in a shoot for Complex magazine. Pretty cool stuff. On the court, Osaka playing like she was Lewis Hamilton. A fast, fast performance against Elisabetta Cocchioretto, Andy.
Yeah, and I love what Osaka's doing. When she's set and can put a hurt on the ball, she still creates as much speed as anyone. Took care of her serve. I'm not sure, at least through most of the match, she hadn't faced a break point, cruising through service games, still not getting in and out of the corners as well as she might have before her comeback. But, Steve, I said last week on the podcast, I think Osaka's going to win and win big in the future. I still think there are slams in front of her. But from the middle of the court, this is vintage Osaka, right? When she has time, is able to bleed you line pretty much whenever she has 2 feet that are set. Again, I love the way she served today. First serves are big. Second serves are up near 100. I like this performance for Osaka. She's looking great.
The podcast, Served with Andy Roddick. If you don't know, now you know. Faces another returning mom, 15 seed Alina Svitolina, in the next round. How about former Australian Open champion Sofia Kenin facing fellow American Katie Vollinets? Came through qualifying, Monica, made the third round at Indian Wells, playing with a lot of confidence.
Playing with a lot of confidence, winning a lot of matches, and that is exactly what breeds the confidence, are those match wins. Vollinets is a very tricky player, likes to get a lot of balls back, and really chase down shot after shot, and Kenin is that type of player who really likes to hit winners all over the court. She likes to play quick, she likes to play fast, and that's exactly what she did in the second set that gave her benefits. But it's Vollinets in the third set, hanging tough, really outlasting Kenin. Kenin hasn't really looked too comfortable out there recently. She's been trying to get those match wins, trying to get back into the top 10 where she was when she won the Australian Open, but it just wasn't her day. But Vollinets showing some really great stuff.
16 break points, converted 7 of those. Vollinets wins her main draw debut in Miami. Pride of Walnut Creek, California, gets Jasmine Paolini next. A lot of eyes on this one, Andy, between Andy Murray, Matteo Berrettini, the Italian playing his first tour-level event since the U.S. Open last year.
Yeah, and it was interesting. That was going to be the thing, right? Berrettini getting in and out of corners. Obviously, the forehand is always going to have that power. What I'm more concerned with, and we're going to see it here in a little bit, is that fitness level. Listen, Murray can have 0 hips. He only has 1 right now, Steve, but he could have 0 hits and still get inside the court. And this was scary for Berrettini. He almost fell over, Steve. And this is kind of the first tournament of the season where you see someone in the humidity, right? Arizona last week is a lot different than Miami this week. This was a scary scene for about 4.5 minutes. Glad to see Berrettini able to take the court again. But listen, what you do in practice is different than what you do in a match with a long injury layoff, especially in extreme humidity like Miami. I think humidity probably has more of an effect than direct temperature heat. Murray knows what to do if he has someone wounded. Look at him moving the ball around, switching directions. Didn't let Berrettini get set throughout that third set. Veteran playing from someone who knew his opponent was a little wounded.
Berrettini, thankfully able to finish the match. Murray wrote on the camera after, there is life in the old dog yet.
It's obviously a great win for me. You know, started off a little bit slow, but then I do think I played pretty well from, you know, the middle of the first set through to the end of the match. Created a lot of opportunities, and, you know, he was struggling for a little bit at the end of the second, beginning of the third, and, you know, I capitalized on that, got off to a quick start in the third, and served out well at the end.
Well, perhaps the future of American men's tennis on display. Darwin Blanche making his ATP Tour debut facing Thomas Mahac, Andy.
Yeah, and this is a tall task. A hype machine is already in full motion for Darwin Blanche. You know, it's what you wanted to see from a 16-year-old, able to create that speed, flash the service speed a little bit, is going to get stronger, doesn't move at a pro level yet, but still flashes some athleticism here. He does the sliding stop even when it's not necessary. Steve, that is very new school, but I think overall a pretty good debut for Dalren Blanche. I don't think he's did anything today that would quell the enthusiasm that he's created as far as like a hype mechanism in tennis. You can't teach 6'3" at 16. You certainly can't teach athleticism. You can't teach the shot shape, and you can't teach leftiness. So a lot ahead for Dalren Blanche. Not the result he wanted, but a good showing.
The theory of natural selection did not work in Darwin's favor today, but his evolution is just starting, Monica Puig. What did you make of the debut of the 16-year-old Dalren Blanche?
I mean, I just want to say, I know Ben Shelton is young, but this looks like a young Ben Shelton out there. Like, when the camera's not on his face, it almost looks like Ben Shelton out there. I really like his energy. I like his intensity out on the court. I think there's so much for him to improve. I mean, he is so young. So, like Andy said, you can't teach it right now. It's more of a maturity thing. He will go and get those reps as he gets these opportunities and these matches. I mean, he's just starting, and the sky's the limit, pretty much.
Andy, he spoke to Prakash after, and what we know is that he trains at JC Ferrero's Academy and gets to hit a lot with Carlos Alcaraz. What does that mean for the youngster?
It's a lot. As far as being able to receive shot pace, he's not going to get much better training than being with one Carlos Ferrero still plays a great ball, and two with Carlos Alcaraz, who's able to create as much speed as anyone on tour. Does look like a young Ben Shelton, but at this point in their lives, I think Ben could actually bench press Dalren Blanche. But I like what I saw. The differentiated ball flight, the flatter off the backhand side, able to create that spin profile off the forehand side. I like what I saw today. I think the future's bright. I don't know that he's quite ready for full-time on this level, but who would be? 16 years old. Yeah. A lot of growth and a lot of reason for optimism.
Look forward to seeing him play more ITF events. Some challengers said the goal is to get inside the top 500 by the end of the year. Certainly think Blanche can get that done. Meantime, more action on the women's side. All-American battle. Danielle Collins, Bernarda Para, Monica. Para started strong in this one.
Yeah, this is a tough matchup for both. Para is a very tricky lefty to play, has some good wheels, can play some good defense, and we see that right here, getting to a beautiful drop shot from Collins, making it look easy. But Danielle Collins, what is seemingly her last year on tour, taking advantage of all these opportunities that she has. She is a fighter. She's very feisty out on the court, and one thing you can always know is that she's not going to go down without a fight. And I saw that from her in Abu Dhabi earlier this year. She just looked physically very good, mentally very good. She's hitting her spots out on the court. And I talked to her, asked her, how free are you feeling right now? And, I mean, this just goes to show 6-1, 6-1 after losing the first set. Great result overall.
Only dropped 4 points on her first serve in those final two sets. She gets Anastasia Potapova next. Some other scores from Miami. Donna Vekic coming through in three against Karolina Pliskova. Camila Giorgi, when she is on, she is on. Avanesian takes out the older Andreeva, Erica. And how about Claire Liu, 4-1 over Petra Martic. Nice win for the young American. More highlights coming up on TC Live. Plus, we look ahead to a big matchup on Thursday between Gael Monfils and Dusan Lajovic. It's our FanDuel match preview. We're talking Le Mans. Stay with us.
Introducing Coco Gauff's signature shoe, more than just a tennis shoe. It's a fusion of 90s-inspired style and cutting-edge performance technology. With its sleek mid-cut silhouette, it's designed to enhance speed and power on the court. The multi-piece upper construction delivers high-energy return for players of all levels. Whether you're a seasoned pro or just starting out, the Coco CG1 empowers you to dominate the game. Learn more and purchase the Coco CG1 at newbalance.com.
Andy, Monica, Steve, back with you on TC Live. Take a look at our matches on T2 tomorrow, beginning at 1 p.m. Eastern. Ted Robinson, Nico Pereira on the call. Kei Nishikori, playing for the first time since Atlanta last year, takes on Sebastian Hoffner. And then Lorenzo Sonego against Daniel Evans at the bottom there. You can see all the places you get T2 for free. Probably already have it. Time now for our FanDuel match preview. Gael Monfils, heavy favorite against Dusan Lajovic, 2-0 head-to-head. Both those matches, straight sets. Last meeting in Cincinnati in 2021. Andy Roddick, who are you putting your money on?
Yeah, I mean, on the line, I think anything goes. It's tough to have a 3-1 favorite for someone who's not currently ranked in the top 70, but I like the matchup for Monfils. Anyone who can't serve and has to rely on getting through Monfils from the baseline is certainly a tough matchup. I like Lamont in this one.
He told us at Indian Wells, he brought the Wakanda Forever back. He did it because he said, I'm ready. He beat Hubie Hurkacz there. Big win. He beat Cam Norrie there as well. We're seeing Gael Monfils of days past, Monica.
Yeah, I saw him when he played in Doha. He was looking absolutely great. He was moving around the court well, was really focused from first point to last. You know, he always has fun out on the court, which we really like to see. But in Doha, I saw him very focused, kind of not really the Monfils that we're used to seeing, like cracking lots of smiles or jumping around, doing a lot of trick shots. He was really focused on the task at hand. He played extremely well. Off the court, things are going extremely well for him as well and for Alina. So, you know, he's in his element right now. So bringing that back, that's just
he's ready.
Confidence
he's,
booster.
He's ready to go. Andy, the odds of him getting our hot shot of the day tomorrow, I'm putting it at plus 115. What do you think about that?
I'm just doing the math on when Alcaraz is supposed to play his first round. Then I'm trying to remember if Fognini's in this draw. It feels like those three are the only people who ever win it. But I have a feeling someone else is taking it today, Steve, just from what I've seen earlier. Maybe someone from Colombia, I hope.
That could be today. Tomorrow.
I hope so.
Lamont. New customers can get $200 in bonus bets if your $5 bet wins. Download the FanDuel Sportsbook app and start making every moment more. The hot shots ahead. Plus, we got more American highlights on the way, including Alex Mickelson. That's right, the California kid kicking it in South Florida. Could he get a victory? Back on TC Live from the Miami Open. Nighttime in Miami, and we've got some Americans in action to get to. How about Shelby Rogers, back, had a second knee surgery last summer, looking for her first win in nearly a year, facing teenager Linda Fruvertova. Monica, this was an emotional one for Shelbs.
Yeah, and after a player takes a hiatus for injury, you know, those first couple matches, first couple sets, it takes you a while to get into it. But Shelby is a player that's able to generate such easy power off of her ground strokes and especially her serve. And Shelby, during that time off from her injury, really got in the gym, worked on her fitness. So physically, she was ready for this long match that she had against Fruvertova, who is a tricky player to play. She has a lot of variety, likes to run around the court, make a lot of balls. But Shelby was ready, and she was feisty, and she was ready for this match in particular, her comeback. And this is exactly what it means to her to be back with a win on tour.
First main draw win since Madrid last year. Said, I'm not getting any younger, so every match I play now is really special. All the feels as she gets the victory. Meantime, last match of the night, it was an all-college tennis affair. Andy, former UCLA Bruin, NCAA champ Marcos Giron, facing Tulane's Dominic Koepfer.
There's certainly a lot more of those these days, and that's a heck of a shot from Koepfer that I didn't see because we only were live during the third set, Steve. Heck of a shot. But I will tell you, Koepfer looked unbelievable in the second set and continued into the third. The guy's like a mannequin maker. He just hits winners all the time. I think he had something like 36 outright winners from the baseline today. The guy can create some speed off of both sides. Credit to Giron, stayed in there and competed like he always does. But look at this passing shot here, this cross court. Giron couldn't quite get the stick save. Steve, you know I love a stick save. But Koepfer, he wins, he yells at someone, good times.
TC Plus, Andy. TC Plus, you could have seen the thing from start to finish. How about the American teenager Alex Mickelson making his Miami Open debut, taking on Lucas Klein, big show court, and Mickelson proving he could be a big star.
Yeah, and I love his ability to return. Breaks a lot, has a good tennis IQ. They traded breaks in the first set, but Mickelson, even when he was up a break a couple times and got broken back, you couldn't see it as an emotion. Seems always positive. Body language was great. That is not an easy overhead to hit at 5-all on a tiebreaker. But he just recovered really well, is able to anticipate the game. I don't know that he's naturally the fastest guy ever, but predicts where the ball is going, is able to kind of feel his way around the court and create some pace when he's extended. Backhand is already world-class. You feel like he's 73 in the world currently. This was a sick half volley. This one, I hope they go to slow-mo. Steve, are they going to go to slow-mo? No, they're not, but you would have been really impressed if they would have gone to slow-mo. One pass and then hits another one to finish it. Looked really great start to finish. I loved his composure. Guy can get it around the court.
That 73 is a career high. Four aces, broke five times, gets Talon Greekspor next. Look at all the teens, Andy. We got a bunch of them now.
Yeah, and this doesn't even show Martin Dam, the young American,
yes,
who got a win 6-6 today. Hopefully I didn't spoil a future highlight, but that was an impressive thing. Darwin Blanche, Alex Mickelson, only 19 years old. This is pretty good times. It's fun to watch, Steve.
Jerry Shang getting the victory as well over Kecmanovic. All right, what's trending on social media? Well, back in April of 2017, Simona Halep had this to say about Maria Sharapova, quote, "For the kids, for the young players, it is not okay to help with a wild card, the player that was banned for doping. It is not about Maria Sharapova here, but it is about all the players that are found to have doped." Well, Halep returned from her doping ban last night with a wild card, and Caroline Wozniacki was asked about that. Here's her response and Halep's retort.
"I understand why tournament wants a big star in the tournaments, but it's my personal belief, and it's not a knock on anyone, but it's my personal belief that I don't think that people should be awarded wildcards afterwards. If you want to come back and it's been a mistake, I understand. You should work your way up from the bottom, and that's my personal opinion on things."
Yeah, but why? Why she said that? Because I didn't do anything wrong. I didn't cheat. I didn't dope. So it's better if we read the decision from TAS that it was a contaminated supplement, was not doping. And I never had something to do with doping. So I never doped, so I'm not a cheater.
All right, what's your reaction to all that, Monica?
I mean, I don't think Caroline indirectly said anything wrong. She is basically saying what Halep said back in 2017, that, you know, I don't think you should award a wild card to somebody who was found to have been guilty of doping and work your way out from the bottom. I just think Caroline spoke facts, and I'll leave it at that. I don't think that there was any kind of jab. I don't think that there was any kind of redirected kind of sinisterness in what Caroline said. So, I mean, that's just the way it is. I'm leaving it all on the table.
Yeah, no, I mean, it seemed, Andy, like Wozniacki said basically what Halep had said in the past. And by the way, the suspension was reduced from 4 years to 9 months, so it was not absolved. There was still a suspension for doping, but Halep obviously believes she's not a cheater.
Yeah, and she can believe what she wants to. I've been a I have sympathy for her circumstances and misplaced trust that Halep had, and I don't think she's, you know, been someone who's played fast and loose with supplements throughout her career. But I also don't think that it's right. I don't think it's okay for her to expect the grace that she didn't give back in 2017. I don't think Caroline, she has to change her opinion based on the fact that she has respect for Simona Halep. Simona Halep found herself with the same sort of judgment 7 years ago. So it's all in writing. I hope that Simona was able to watch Caroline's comments back and not have them reported to her by a journalist. And if I'm watching that back and I'm Halep, I'm saying, she didn't really say anything that was personally insulting. It is just her belief. Now, if someone, you know, Halep might be innocent, she doesn't view herself as a cheater, but she did test positive for a banned substance, right? That is clear. Now, who are we to judge intent? We shouldn't, but also you can't expect grace that you don't give.
Good point, Andy. And we'll see if this conversation continues every time that Simona Halep gets a wild card into an event. Here is our schedule coming up tomorrow. We've got some big matches ahead. Take a look at this. Day session begins 11 a.m. Eastern. Of course, the night session at 7 Eastern. The three of us back for TC Live to wrap it all up. And encore coverage all night long. We will preview some of those matches when we come back on TC Live. Welcome back. It is time for your hot shot of the day. Andy, you teased this one earlier.
Yeah, apparently I got it wrong and it was going to be a Murray highlight, but I teased it. So here we are. This one's better, Steve. Holy Alcaraz with that one. Unbelievable. I love this point. Not just a hot shot, like a series of them. This is better. Why have one when you can have a bunch, Steve?
Loving the backwards hat as well. I mean, let's check it out one more time.
No, this is a separate shot. She was just all over the highlight reel today, Steve. I'm telling you. It was like Dominique Wilkins. It was like a human highlight reel out on one of the outer courts today. She's good. Look at Alcaraz again. He's like setting a trend. That was gratuitous. She didn't have to do it on that one, but I certainly appreciate it. I'm here for it. I feel like I made the right reference. That shot is a joke. That shot was a joke. They just kept getting better. I think I was right. Sorry to cause a panic. Sorry to make everyone change whatever they were planning for the evening. That was the right call.
I was waiting for a third one. Here's our schedule on Thursday, beginning at 11 a.m. Eastern. Our girl, Tay-Tay, Taylor Townsend in action against Alyssa Mertens. Wozniacki back on court against Kalinina. How about Dana Schneider taking on Maddie Keys, Gael Monfils? We talked about that one. Peyton Stearns back in action against Azarenka. Rybakina tossing. Big-time lineup. And for more on these matches, we send it back to Miami with our dynamic duo, Danny and Prakash.
All right, Steve, back here at our Tennis Channel Cadillac desk. Pete, Maria Sakkari makes it to the final of Indian Wells, now starts her Miami campaign against Yan Yu. How do you like her chances?
Well, I've been a fan of Maria Sakkari, and I think she's finally kind of gotten over a bit of a hump, and she's going to reach that full potential. I loved what I saw from her last week. She's been attacking a little bit more, but more than anything, that Dave Witt influence, I think, is helping her temperament, especially in those big moments. So I'm holding strong on this Sakkari stock. I think she's going to get off to a good start here in Miami and have another strong run.
It's going to be a fantastic day three and big Thursday action over here in Miami.
All right, thank you so much. Great job as always with those interviews, Prakash. Kei Nishikori playing for the first time since Atlanta last year. Good news for him. Sebastian Offner has lost three matches in a row, six of his last seven. But what do you want to see from Kei?
I mean, I want to see the K of old, the consistency, the footwork, the attitude, the athleticism out there. He's been missing for way too long, and he's a talent that I really enjoyed seeing even before his injuries. I loved him on the court. He's just such a nice guy, too, so you just want to see him win.
What a champion he is, but what's the biggest challenge for him, having not played a tour-level match for so long?
Fitness is going to be an issue if you haven't played a tour level match. I think he has played some challengers, and I think he's played pretty well in those, if I remember correctly. So not a complete lack of match play, but certainly at this level, I think this is a great draw for him. He is going to have time to hit through the court. One thing with Kei, he's not like the rest of us chuckers where you have to worry about his ball striking. If he's been off for a while, you know that's going to be on point. It's going to be those little things like sticking first serve returns. Is he going to be able to defend his second serve, which even during his prime wasn't even tour average? But I have no doubt about his ball striking. He'll be able to do that when he's 70.
Anytime we can see Kei Nishikori take the court healthy, it is a good day. Looking forward to that match tomorrow. We talked about Sloane Stephens' birthday today. Happy birthday. It's Paul Anacone's birthday as well, our own. Happy birthday, Paul. Another year to have you on the team here at Tennis Channel. And as we send you off, Andy Murray, what did he write on the camera? It was good stuff here. Turn it around for us. Life in the old dog yet. For Monica and Andy, I'm Steve. Thanks for watching TC Live. The action from Miami continues next.